Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krosius and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. It's 10:01 a.m. on Wednesday, June 13, 2018. And I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Krosius, do you?
No, actually, I just have a few things. Yesterday, I was fortunate enough, I was able to go and teach at the LEC, Lignite Energy Council. They had a teacher's seminar, a three-day seminar, and I can tell you nothing is more daunting than trying to teach teachers when you're not a teacher. So it was, they asked a lot of great questions. I taught electricity economics, if you will, 101, I believe was the official title. So it was fun getting up in front of that group and visiting with them and hearing their thoughts and getting a few questions along the way and giving a presentation. So that was a pretty good day. And, that's all I have. But it was a good day.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchek?
I can tell you, Brian, having done that before, it's always interesting how people will say, oh, yeah, I've seen you speak, or, you know, and it'll be not a traditional person from the energy sector. And then you'll say, oh, really? Where was that? You taught us at the, about electricity. And it's like, oh, geez.
We'll see how the ratings go.
Yeah, no. Kalk was really good at that, having been a teacher. I just wanted to point out one thing that we've got on the agenda for tomorrow as a commission, and that is a meeting, a workshop on tree and shrub mitigation. And really, it's an opportunity to have a conversation with industry and with stakeholders who have expertise in growing trees in North Dakota, the NRCS and the local soil conservation services, to talk about our tree and shrub mitigation plan, how it exists today, and how we can make it better, both in terms of being more workable for the companies and also more effective for the environment and actually regrowing the trees and having them in meaningful ways and creating habitat that that is helpful for the environment and will be have a lasting impact. So I think it's a great opportunity to refresh, look at what we're doing today and say, is this the best we can do or are there tweaks that we can make to make it better? And so that's basically the spirit of the conversation tomorrow and looking forward to a good productive meeting with folks. And I've already had some calls on it, so I know that there'll be people coming with opinions. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be an interesting meeting. I just noticed something that I don't seem to have with me, but maybe I won't need it either. Anyway, we have five items on the consent calendar, plus the approval of the previous minutes. So I'd move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into my portfolio then. RC1, I move the commission. Found what I was missing. Okay, RC1, I move the commission approve renewal number 7 to surface coal mining permit number NACT-8203 held by the Coteau Properties Company to extend the permit term another 5 years until July 5th, 2023.
Second.
On January 19th of this year, Coteau Properties filed this application for renewal number 7 to continue mining and reclamation operations within the existing area until July 5th of 2023 again. This permit contains just over 1,155 acres of land in portions of 5 sections in Mercer County. Coteau applied for this renewal because haul roads, topsoil and subsoil stockpiles, and sediment ponds in this area are still being used to support current mine activities in other permit areas. Coal removal from this permit area was completed several years ago. It's just these ancillary things that need to continue. Coteau Properties Company has submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. We received no objections to this renewal application. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are currently on file. This and other permits at the Freedom Mine are covered by self and collateral bonds totaling $146 million. And the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this permit renewal application and recommends approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
In RC2, I move the Commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in BTR Farmers Co-op, license number 1323, at Madoc, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-18-195.
Second.
We received the request to discontinue business from BTR Farmers Co-op for their licensed grain warehouse at Madoc. This facility is going to be licensed by the Fessenden Cooperative Association as part of their currently licensed Madoc facility. There are no outstanding storage obligations. The unpaid scale tickets and open contracts and the grain inventory in the warehouse will be assumed by the Fessenden Cooperative Association. BTR Farmers Co-op continues to operate facilities at Leeds and Niles, North Dakota, with a combined capacity of over 4 million bushels. Staff recommends the request be approved, and I will point out that in order to make that transition for the Fessenden Cooperative Association on the date they were wanting to do the transition, I did sign a temporary approval of this that was dated June 6, and this will be to make that permanent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Crashes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement and Public Service Commission, CenturyLink Communications, LLC, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-17-477.
Second.
On December 7th, 2017, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Don Fry, North Dakota one-call board president, alleging a violation by CenturyLink Communications of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, the one-call excavation notice system. On December 11, 2017, the Commission sent a letter to CenturyLink enclosing the North Dakota one-call complaint. On January 2, 2018, CenturyLink responded to the North Dakota one-call complaint. And on May 24, 2018, the Public Service Commission advocacy staff and CenturyLink filed a consent agreement for the resolution of the complaint. And essentially what this is, the complaint alleges violations by CenturyLink of North Dakota Century Code, as mentioned, Section 49-23, for failure to provide positive response to the notification center once it had completed marking the excavation area or determined that there were no facilities in the area identified in the ticket. The complaint did not identify damage to an underground facility, so no damage occurred. But as a part of the last legislative session, there were a number of one-call law changes. One of those included positive response. The intent of positive response is for operators to know or to indicate that the lines have been marked so excavation can occur as soon as possible. But it also tells them that there are or are not facilities in the area. There might not be anything to mark, but in the event that there is, it's important that the excavator knows before starting to do their work. There were 25,701 instances of this between August 1st and 2017. under the consent agreement that Advocacy and CenturyLink came up with, CenturyLink agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $25,000. They agree to remit $10,000 of that, of the $25,000 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. The remaining $15,000 in the civil penalty is suspended on the condition that CenturyLink commits no further violations of North Dakota Century Code 49-23 within 5 years of the date of this order. And as a part of this, again, this was tied to the new law that went into effect. And it, as with any of the law changes, I think these are really good changes. There were 12 changes in total. This was one of the 12. And it's important for excavators to know that these lines have, in fact, been marked. So it's a significant fine. But we also want to send a message that you have to follow through with positive response, because the reality, you don't know what's below when an excavator is out doing the digging. And if you don't know what's below, it could be a fiber optic line. It could be a crude oil pipeline. It could be a natural gas line, a water main, a number of different types of facilities. And we want to prevent damage, obviously. We want to make sure that no one is hurt during the excavation process and that there isn't any damage to the environment. And all of those things come into play when there's uncertainty. So I support this motion. And CenturyLink has been moving forward with complying with positive response. And I don't believe it will be an issue in the future. But we also want to send a strong message that this isn't acceptable in terms of not following through with positive response.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll just say something not really so much related to this case, but just an observation that in a state with fewer than 750,000 inhabitants, at the time when the oil boom wasn't occurring and CenturyLink only serving part of the state, to think that we have enough economic activity to generate over 25,000 calls in less than 5 months is kind of amazing, too. And so I think it's outside of this case, but it's just a credit to the economic activity that's happening in North Dakota, that to think that we have that many calls coming in.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, my second item. I move the Commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission, Gateway Building Systems Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, Case 2-18-124.
Second.
On April 16th, 2018, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Emily Bridge, North Dakota Pipeline Company, LLC, alleging a violation by Gateway Building Systems Incorporated of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23 One-Call Excavation Notice System. On April 17, 2018, the Commission sent a letter to Gateway enclosing the North Dakota one-call complaint. On May 29, 2018, the Commission advocacy staff and Gateway filed a consent agreement for the resolution of the complaint. The complaint alleges violations by Gateway of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-04 for failure to contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning an excavation. The complaint did not identify damage to an underground facility. And according to, or per North Dakota Century Code, there is an exemption in the event of an emergency in terms of obtaining a one-call ticket. But aside from that, and this wasn't an emergency situation, you do have to call and get the ticket prior to digging for some of the reasons I cited earlier. In this particular instance, and actually I'll get into that, but under the consent agreement, Gateway agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of this order adopting consent agreement. And having considered the matter, the commission finds the consent agreement filed on May 29th, 2018 is reasonable and acceptable. Therefore, the commission issues the following, that Gateway violated Century Code, North Dakota Century Code, Section 49-2304, and that they will be assessed a civil penalty of $500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission, as mentioned, within 10 business days of the order. Now, I want to make a few comments on this one because the facility that was in question, that was in proximity, that Northern or North Dakota Pipeline Company has in that particular area, is a 16-inch high-pressure crude oil pipeline, and that's very troubling. And I have a lot of concern over the fact that they were excavating in an area that had this type of facility, and it was in east of Minot and east of Surrey by about two and a half miles, about 6 miles east of Minot, I believe, in Ward County. And what it's doing, that line is actually moving crude oil from the Bakken to Clearbrook, Minnesota, which is a hub that feeds refineries in the Twin Cities, Superior, Wisconsin, Chicago, and other areas. Beyond that, they also have lines in that area that go to that Clearbrook location that is moving Canadian tar sands oil from Canada, and that's also going to Clearbrook and then on to refineries. And North Dakota has been shipping oil through that pipeline since 1962, so it's a facility that's been around for a long time. I have concerns with the amount, and as a result of that, as a means of providing better direction going forward, I would like to request a to add on scheduling a work session to talk about the amounts, because if this facility had been hit, the damage potentially could have been significant. We're talking about crude oil, and not only is there a risk to the environment, but there's also a risk to the excavator. And had it not been a crude line, if it had been a natural gas line, then even a more significant risk is posed for the people that are actually running the machinery and doing the digging. So you have just a number of risks at hand, and I think it's important that we're sending a very strong and clear message to to companies that are doing excavating that you have to call for the ticket prior to beginning the work, because there is significant risk, particularly as you approach the oil patch. Not only are there natural gas lines throughout North Dakota, but now you're talking about more and more crude oil lines and facilities that are buried underground. So there were a couple of ways to go about this, and I worked with staff in terms of the best direction, and I'm going to approve, vote to approve this, because then during the work session, the division director as well as staff can be fully engaged rather than holding it specific to a particular case. And I want all voices at the table during that work session, so we can come to a consensus on what should the level, the fine amounts be going forward for something of this nature. So we'll see where that takes us, but with reservation, I'm going to approve this particular order as a means of being more effective in terms of the conversation that we have going forward to determine whether or not a new direction is warranted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
And when we get to the administrative portion of the meeting, you can bring that up and request to add it to scheduling.
I would just say I support that move, Brian. I appreciate you bringing it forward. We haven't reconsidered the guidance for staff since you've been part of the commission. We did have similar conversations in the past, and they're operating under those kind of guidelines. And so I think it's appropriate to have a refresh. So appreciate you bringing that forward.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Endeavor Field Services, LLC, 8-inch and 6-inch NGL pipelines, McKinsey Billings Stark Siting Application, case number PU-18-72.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. This is for a project that traverses a pretty long stretch of a couple of counties in western North Dakota and allowed us to have a field hearing in Grassy Butte. So that was really fun to get out there and see that that small town and spend some time there. So on February 5th of 2018, Endeavor Field Services filed a consolidated application for a corridor certificate and route permit for the location of a natural gas pipeline approximately 17 miles long in McKenzie County, for a natural gas pipeline approximately 22 miles long in Billings and Stark County, and for four liquid product pipelines, each approximately 5 miles long in Stark and Billings County. On May 14th, the commission held a hearing in Grassy Butte, North Dakota, and had some good participation from the company and from the public at that hearing. So this is a interesting project. It is basically a pipeline facility comprised of four different segments. The first segment, the north segment, is located in McKenzie County, and it will transport mixed natural gas liquids, or Y-grade product, approximately 17 miles from the Oasis Midstream Services Wild Basin gas plant. So it's going from a gas plant to an existing 42-mile previously permitted pipeline known as the Bakken Link crude oil pipeline that was previously permitted by the commission a number of years ago. So this second segment is the existing Bakken Link pipeline, and that segment is going to be 42 miles long. And the third segment is referred to as a south segment. That will intersect with the existing Bakken pipeline in Billings County and transport the NGLs south approximately 22 miles to Endeavor's Belfield gas plant in Stark County. And then at the gas plant, the mixed NGLs will be separated into discrete components. The fourth segment, the transfer line segment, will be comprised of four pipelines that will transport the four discrete components, which include ethane, propane, butane, and natural gas. So those four different pipes will then transport the product from the gas plant 5 miles to Endeavor's Freiburg Rail Terminal located in Billings County, and then it will likely leave, most of the product will likely leave by rail from there. The pipe for the north and south segment will be 8-inch diameter steel. The maximum flow rate of each pipe will be about 43,000 barrels per day. The four pipelines of the transfer segment will be 6-inch diameter steel, and the maximum flow rate of those will be 34,000 barrels per day. The estimated cost of the project is $46 million. The commission notified all the appropriate agencies, and we heard back from 11 different agencies on this project, including North Dakota Game and Fish, Geological Survey, the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, the State Water Commission, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, as well as the Department of Health. Endeavor's surveys did not record any exclusion areas within the survey area. They also looked for the avoidance areas, and they filed one of the comments received from the agencies, expert agencies, was regarding a potential landslide areas, and Endeavor filed a late-filed exhibit regarding information that was highlighted by the Geological Survey, saying that they don't see any landslide areas along the pipeline route or the construction area, and committed to continuing to evaluate possible landslide areas during construction. They didn't record any other avoidance areas within the survey area. The design, construction, operation of the pipeline will be in accordance with the U.S. DOT regulations, including regulations set forth in 49 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 195. Endeavor's surveys found that 14 wetlands and 17 water bodies will be crossed by the pipeline route, and they will be using horizontal directional drilling for all of those crossings. They testified that they will conduct regular pipeline monitoring, periodic inspection, internal inspections, and aerial patrol inspections as required by DOT, federal DOT regulations. The pipeline will be monitored 24 hours per day, 7 days a week, by a SCADA system with a control center in San Antonio, Texas. The State Historic Preservation Officer confirmed that the project will have no effects on historic properties. And Endeavor testified that it will participate in the North Dakota One Call notification system. So with that, I think that you know, the process has been completed on this project. It's an interesting project with making use of an existing line, a significant segment of existing line, converting it from crude oil to NGL transport, and then adding some components on both ends to really help the industry address in another way the need for additional capacity for NGL takeaways at the gas plants. And then there was existing capacity at the Belfield gas plant for processing these purity products and producing ethane, propane, butane, and natural gas. So makes good use of that existing capacity as well. So I think all of our work has been completed, and I'm ready to support this project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add, because I get this question when I've been out and about and visiting with people, a lot of questions center around the process itself and who's involved in terms of potential stakeholders and parties that weigh in. There were 12 different agencies, including North Dakota Department of Health, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, North Dakota Geological Survey, North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, the North Dakota State Water Commission, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, service that evaluated and provide comments on this particular project. So there's a very thorough vetting process that is a part of the siting process, the hearing itself, and just a number of checks and balances that have to be met. And then, as Commissioner Fedorchuk mentioned, refined product is going to be moved by rail, and we're seeing again an uptick in rail shipments, not only because pipeline capacity for crude oil is being maxed out, but also because we're starting to see these natural gas products actually being processed in North Dakota. So I would expect that will continue to fuel the conversation on need for more takeaway capacity from the state overall.
Just to further make the point on the agency consultation, that the 12 agencies Brian mentioned are those that commented. There's 27 agencies that are notified and sent the information and given an opportunity to comment on this project and every single project that we do. So the PSC relies heavily on the expertise that exists in other agencies within state and federal government, and we count on those agencies to get involved and share their expertise and their concerns and participate in the process.
And yet, if there's disagreement with the information that those agencies provide, the company has every ability in the hearing to present a differing opinion, and that's when we come in and make decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to comment outside of the interagency work on this particular case, a couple of thoughts. First of all, you mentioned it was a nice opportunity to have our first ever hearing in Grassy Butte. And notably with that, besides the fact that it was the first in that small town, that's kind of the heart of the area of the part of the pipeline that's a transition from that's already in the ground. And so the hearing was most convenient for landowners in that area where it's already there, and we did not have a slug of people coming in complaining about the way it was put in or mm-hmm. or anything about it. So that was kind of a nice affirmation of the job that was done in installing that section of the pipeline, I thought. And secondly, you know, a few weeks ago, and we had talked about it before, when the petroleum conference was held, and you know, there's all this talk of innovation and stuff, and that really isn't surprising for us because of the role we have here dealing with the oil and gas industry. We've been seeing this all along, but here's another example of companies working together, moving the product that is needing to be moved right now is in the most safe and efficient way, and transitioning existing facilities from what it was originally built for into what's needed now. And so that innovation that was talked about down there really wasn't much of a surprise to me. We see it all the time here. So good project, I think.
Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission execute a contract with K2 Engineers and Consultants Incorporated for construction inspection services in the Endeavor Field Service LLC 8-inch and 6-inch NGL pipelines, McKinsey, Billings, Stark. Citing application case number PU-18-72.
Second.
This is just the construction inspection contract to go along with the previous order that we just approved on the Endeavor pipeline. Again, our construction inspectors are third party. They are assigned. Pat? Oh, okay.
It's with Wayne.
Oh, then this needs to be. There's a typo then. Okay. So you want to amend it right now, Pat?
Yes.
Execute a contract with Wink and Associates? Oh, there it is. Yeah, Wank Associates. All right. So I move. How do we make that, Mr. Chairman? Should I read it over? It's on the first page of the contract here.
Commissioner Krosh, will you repeal your second of the motion?
I will repeal my second.
And you're repealing your motion?
I am.
Okay, so let's just start fresh with a new motion.
Okay, thank you. I move the commission execute a contract with Wink Associates for construction inspection services in Endeavor Field Services LLC, 8-inch and 6-inch NGL pipelines, McKinsey, Billings, Stark, citing application case number PU-18-72.
Second.
Okay, so this is the contract for the construction inspection services for the Endeavor pipeline project. These inspectors will be out there monitoring the construction from the beginning of the very first shovel of dirt until after the grass and the associated reclamation has been completed, and we can determine that it's been successful. So it's a good process that seems to be working pretty well, and we'll look forward to that happening on this one as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That's it for me, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Fahn, for catching that before we had to go back and redo something later.
Saves me some trouble.
So for announcements, this afternoon, we have an informal hearing on two cases, PU-18-75, Montana Dakota Utilities and Great Plains Holding Company structure application, and then PU-18-112, NSP's Electric Reliability Performance Plan rates. And I just point that out because typically we start informals at 1:30 because of some other conflicts this afternoon. This has moved up to 1 o'clock
if anyone wanted to attend that. And then Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned it earlier, but tomorrow at 10 o'clock is that workshop on the tree and shrub mitigation specifications, bringing in stakeholders to look at the tree and shrub mitigation plan we've been using for some years and see if there are improvements that could and should be made. And the only other announcement I would have is our next regular scheduled meeting is Wednesday, June 27th at 10 o'clock right here. With that, we will stand in recess, take questions from the press, then about a five-minute break, and then we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting.
So, Brian, on the if I understood what you were saying right about the one call issue, you want to take a look at potentially raising fines for particular violations of the one call law?
Yes, taking a look at the current policy guidelines that advocacy staff has been operating off of or from, and as Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned, that was something that was discussed with a previous commission. The makeup has changed with my arrival, and it's a challenge because you don't know what's below. In this particular instance, there was in proximity. I can't say that it was directly below, but in proximity to where the excavating was taking place, we're talking about a 16-inch high-pressure crude oil pipeline. And it underscores the importance of calling before you dig, getting the ticket, and then as well as exercising making sure that if they follow through with positive response as well before digging. So advocacy goes off of the policy guidelines as issued by the commission. I individually can't go to advocacy staff and say, okay, I think it should be at this level instead, which is why I want to have an open discussion. And there were several options with this case. That I considered. One was talking specifically about this case, could have withdrew the motion, but the process had already been underway. They had engaged in a conversation with the company and had come up with the consent agreement. So the other part, if we had talked about it as an active case, having the work session centered around that, advocacy would be very limited and only could repeat what's already on the record unless the other party was present. So it just doesn't, to me, it didn't seem as effective as having an open conversation, accepting this, voting in favor, which I did, of this settlement agreement, and then having more flexibility when we schedule and have a work session.
Yeah. What kind of factors go into, what a fine is in a one call case? Like if it's a crude oil pipeline, is it more? Or if they accidentally strike it, is it more or something like that? Or
it isn't necessarily the facility type, but I think that's something that we do need to talk about. But you don't know what's below. You don't know if it's a crude oil pipeline. You don't know if it's a natural gas line, fiber optic cable, water main. So it's more, have they been a repeat violator? That's one of the criteria. In this case, Gateway was not. They were not a repeat offender. This was a first-time offense that we have on record. So they weren't a repeat violator, but that would certainly come into play. And if you're a repeat violator, you're going to face a stiffer fine in all likelihood. That has to be agreed upon by all three commissioners approving a motion that would reflect that. But there are just a number of really bad things that can happen when you don't get a ticket. And rather than having excavators out there guessing, I think it's okay, I think it's not okay, they have to know. They have to know, and I know sometimes they're in a hurry to get a project done, but to be in an area, any area of the state, but particularly in an area that has gathering lines coming from the oil patch, moving product to the east or to the south, wherever it's going, and not to call for a one-call ticket is a serious violation.
If I might just add a little bit more in terms of the factors on the current guidelines, they include the history of the violations, like Mr. Krosh has said, in terms of if it's a first offender or repeat, but also injuries and number of customers impacted. Those are some of the other criteria that staff have used in coming up with what they think is the appropriate type fine or settlement.
Okay.
And is there a fourth one? Pat, was there a fourth criteria?
Size of the facility is a
criteria. I
think
that. It's related to the number of customers.
I see, yeah.
And I think some of the thought over the years has been, you know, originally the maximum was $5,000. Mm-hmm. Now it's $25,000. And before any of us were here, I think there was a case where someone was killed and the maximum penalty was $5,000, and it just seemed like a case as serious as that ought to be more different than a farmer cutting off his own telephone line and that's the only person impacted, you know. So the legislature increased the maximum to that, but I think as part of the factors that were mentioned, there's always been that thought that, okay, things would start at, in the case of a death or something really extraordinarily serious like that, being at that top level and then working throughout that scale. It's not like we have a scale of $0 to $1 million to work with. It's $0 to $25,000.
Sure. So is the CenturyLink fine, the $25,000, is that the maximum fine they could have gotten?
It's $25,000 is maximum per violation.
Oh, okay. So they could have gotten $25,000 times $25,000.
Mm-hmm. They could have.
Would have been, I don't know what the math is on that.
It's 1.
A lot.
2.5 million? Yeah. Is that the number?
I don't know. But with that one, are you aware of any other companies that are having problems with that particular law change with the positive response, or was it?
No, not that I'm aware of. That has been significant. Pat, okay, yeah, no other complaints. So one of the things in that particular case, they were having problems, they indicated, with a password where they thought positive response was. They indicated that they were following through, but it wasn't making its way into the system. So we did take that into account as a part of a good faith type estimate or approach to the settlement, but they have been complying. To my knowledge, we haven't received any complaints since that time period. And again, it's important, you know, going back to one of the questions on the factors, I think one of the challenges when you're basing a fine after the fact, mm-hmm, on what type of a facility could have been hit, then it becomes almost luck of the draw that were you digging in, you know, a worst case scenario area, or were you digging where you might have damaged, as Randy indicated, Commissioner Chrisman, a fiber optic cable that's going to knock out service to a farmstead. Mm-hmm. But since you don't know, just personally, I find that a bit of a challenge in terms of how do you really base that system and get the point across that it might be a 16-inch crude oil line, it might be a natural gas line, it might be a water line.
Yeah. I understand from CenturyLink that they were, you know, notifying excavators themselves, you know, and where they were getting tripped up was it wasn't going to the notification center, you know, as the law requires, but they were still notifying excavators, is what they told me, I guess.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's the impression you got or not.
Well, I do know that, you know, at the end of the day, they weren't complying with positive response.
Yeah.
So it has to be recorded in the system. And, and there are enough, there are ways to, you know, as a company to know and to double check. You would think it would have surfaced earlier, but I think we're on the right path going forward with them.
Okay.
It would have been $625 million.
Yeah, I was starting to think.
That might have been a little over.
625. Yeah.
I'm starting to think my number
was
wrong.
It's all deficit
wrong.
For a few years.
I don't think we'd have gotten a consent agreement on
that. Probably not. Yeah. Just a quick question. This was on the consent agenda. It was BK2 about this emergency commission request.
Right.
Can you explain?
Yes. It's a bit unusual, but at the same time, that was primarily driven because of tax reform, and the company wanted more time to evaluate the impact of tax reform on those projects. So as a result, we went through the normal process. I would anticipate it, or I believe it probably would have been a closed case by now. But after tax reform, they wanted to extend the window to evaluate the impact of tax reform on the project and then revise their numbers, potentially, revise their numbers and then bring those back. But now we have to go back and evaluate a new set of numbers and go through a part of the process again.
Okay, so I misunderstood.
So,
it's not for the North Dakota Emergency Commission. It was an emergency request for this commission.
No.
No?
You have to request additional filing fees.
Oh, okay.
That exceed the $175,000. You have to go before the emergency commission to get approval of the additional fees because it's above the allotted amount.
What will you have to ask for?
In front of the emergency commission?
Yeah. What, do you have a figure?
50,000.
50,000, yeah.
Of additional filing fee from the company.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's to help us hire experts to evaluate the company's proposal to make sure that, you know, what they're saying is accurate, or to identify holes or things that they think are questionable in the company's analysis.
Yeah, that's a great point. This would be for outside services in addition to what the work that we will have to do internally. It all ties together.
Anything else? Okay, we'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting then about 5 minutes to 11. Thank you.